A prayer as we stand. Lord God, be in my words, be in our hearts and minds, and help us to hear your word to us. Amen. Please be seated. So good morning. Those of you who don't know me, my name is Claire. I'm in my first year at Ridley Hall. I'm training to be a priest in the Church of England, and I am attached to St Mary's and to Christ Church North Ely. And it's my pleasure to speak with you this morning about today's readings. So I'm going to start by saying Happy Christmas and a Happy New Year for tomorrow. I wonder if there's anybody here who has used something today, so used something this morning, that they got as a Christmas gift this year. Maybe it might be a new cup or a mug, perhaps some toiletries you were given. Maybe you had an electronic gadget or, you know, a new phone or something perhaps that you've used so far this morning. Or perhaps you're wearing a gift, maybe a gift that you were given at Christmas. Ah, well done, one person, that's good. A nice new pair of socks, and we're all very pleased to hear that. So yeah, so I wonder if you have used something that you have been given for Christmas. And today we're going to be thinking a little bit about gifts. I don't know about you, but sometimes you get gifts that are things that you really, really wanted, something that you've asked for perhaps, and you're really pleased when you receive it, and it's something that you wanted. Sometimes gifts can be surprises. It's not something that you asked for, but when you unwrap the present, actually it is something that you really want or need or something that's slightly unusual, but something that you could use. And sometimes you get gifts and you unwrap them and you just wonder if the person who sent it to you has ever met you before. It's just really not your thing, the bright pink pair of socks, or I don't know what colour socks yours are, but, you know, just something that you think, my goodness, has this person ever met me before? When I was in my 20s, I went through a phase of wearing only black. And as you can see today, I have navy blue and grey on, so I've moved on quite a lot since then. And I received a present, which was a turquoise sequined top. And you know when you open something, you think, well, for the last 5 years probably, I've worn nothing but black. Why have I been sent this turquoise sequin top? And I think it kind of caused a little bit of disappointment, maybe a little bit of upset, both to myself and from the person who sent it to me because I wasn't about to wear it. And sometimes our gifts from God can fall into all three of those categories. They can be things that we've really prayed for, things that we've really asked for, and when we get them, we're really pleased and we hope that we can use them and they will become part of us. Sometimes God gives us gifts that we really don't expect, things that we haven't asked for, but actually they become part of us. And although they can be challenging to start with, actually they become who you are and you can see God working through you. And sometimes you can get gifts from God and you just don't know how to fit them in. It really goes against everything that you had planned for your life, and actually God wants you to do something very different. So we're going to look at our first reading in a bit more depth. So if you want to, you can have Galatians 4 open in front of you, but we're going to go through it step by step, so you don't need to if you'd rather just listen. So it says right at the very beginning of Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." So this was God's plan. It was God's gift to us. It wasn't something that happened as an afterthought or on a whim. Galatians 4 shows us that this gift from God, sending his Son to earth, was very specifically set into a particular time and place in history. It was not a last-minute thought, a scraping together of a gift from what was around. It was, in fact, a costly and precious gift, one that had been planned from the very start, a gift that would change everything forever. God's gift was that he should send his Son to earth, not in the form of a ready-grown warrior who would defeat evil in a blaze of fire and a hurricane of judgment, but as some felt the Messiah would be. But when the time had come, he would send his Son, born of a woman, born under the limitations of the law, born with all the vulnerability that would come of being born to earthly parents, in a place of danger, with rejection and persecution, a real threat from the very start of his earthly life. And this was God's gift to the human race. This was God's gift to us, that his son would be born as one of us, in order that we might be saved through him. Jesus, when he was born as a baby to his human parents, was reliant on others. This was God working through humanity. This is God's gift to us, and we need to be willing to work with God. We also need to respond. So just as Mary and Joseph needed to respond to nurture, to love, and to help Jesus grow, we also need to do the same. We need to respond to nurture, to love, and to help Jesus grow in our lives today. Jesus came as a gift to the world, a gift to all. His gift was beyond all earthly laws and material possessions. His gift was adoption. It was a gift of sonship. I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where you have felt that you don't quite fit in. Where you, for whatever reason, have not been part of the in crowd. Perhaps you've found yourself in a different culture to the one you're used to. Or you've been somewhere where you haven't spoken the common language. Maybe you've been the only person of a certain age, or gender, or ethnic background, or social background. Maybe everyone else in the room knows each other and you don't. I remember about 5 years ago going to my step-grandmother's 80th birthday party. My grandfather had remarried in his 70s and had since died, so I didn't know anyone else at my step-grandmother's birthday party except for her. When I arrived, my parents were there, but they'd been seated on a different table to me, and I was supposed to be sitting on the same table with my brother, but he had to cancel at the last minute. So I found myself in a room full of people celebrating a lady's life who I sort of knew but didn't know particularly well, on a table of people that I didn't know particularly well. And I felt incredibly awkward and uncomfortable. I managed to talk to people. I kind of learned a lot of new things I didn't know before about my step-grandmother. But it was kind of that feeling that you perhaps didn't belong. You perhaps shouldn't have been there. I'd driven all the way down to Poole for the birthday party, so I didn't know the area at all. It just felt a little bit uncomfortable and a bit awkward. And I wonder if you've ever had a situation where you've gone to something or been somewhere and not quite felt like you fitted in. I'm reliably informed that extroverts find something like this a real exciting thing, loads of new people to get to know. I, on the other hand, am an introvert and have quite an opposite feeling about that. But whether you enjoy the challenge or not, this is not how it will be with our relationship with God. We have been promised that through Jesus comes the possibility of sonship, the opportunity for us as human beings, with all our failings and our fallibilities, to be accepted and adopted into God's family. We are not left on the fringe, on the edge. We are not some dim and distant family member who no one really knows. Through Jesus, we have the opportunity to be adopted as sons and daughters, to be right there in the immediacy and intimacy that makes us an integral part of God's plan. We have been adopted as heirs, as sons and daughters. This gift from God is not one where we are abandoned and left to do our own thing, where we are separate from everyone else and on our own. This gift from God is our adoption, our welcome and our embrace, not just to a social or a cultural group, but we have been adopted into a family, into a close-knit relationship. We have not been adopted into a family as an outsider, but adopted into a living relationship with God as his child and with all the rights and responsibilities that being an heir brings with it. In the next verse in Galatians 4, verse 6, it says, "Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father." We are able to call out to God by name, Father. The Spirit of Jesus, which Paul says lives within us, calls out, Abba, Father. We are on intimate and familiar terms with God. We are called into relationship with God, and we are allowed to call him Father. God has an amazing way of drawing to him all people. He does not limit by gender or ethnicity, language or social status. God's gift of love and his call to become heirs is open to everyone.
If we look at our second reading this morning from Luke 2, we see that God chooses to send his angels to the shepherds. The shepherds were the social outcasts of their time, but they were chosen by God to be the first people to see and to worship his son. They were the first to go and see the Saviour that had been born for them, to them, the gift to them, the Messiah. They were not the ones that society would have expected to be the first to receive this message, that God would have sent his angels to see, the ones to be the first to see and then share that message with others. They would have been the ones on the outside, not in the in crowd, but God chose them, much like he chooses you and me. And sometimes we feel like we perhaps are not on the in the in crowd, that maybe we're not quite good enough for God's promise of sonship. Maybe the promise of the gift of the Spirit living us doesn't quite include us as well. Maybe we can't quite call ourselves heirs, that perhaps it maybe isn't us. Sometimes it's easier to think that perhaps the people who are sitting either side of us in the pew, they're definitely called. They definitely have the Spirit inside them, but maybe not me. Perhaps sometimes we can look at the people who sit at the front of church and think, yep, definitely, God's called them, but maybe he hasn't called me. And maybe it's people who are able to read their Bible regularly and have really good regular quiet times. Perhaps we could think that maybe, yeah, God's definitely called them, but maybe he hasn't called me. But Paul tells us that God sent his son with all the restrictions of a human birth to redeem those under the law. He sent his spirit into our lives to call out to him, Abba Father, that his son was sent to release us from the slavery of not quite fitting in, of not quite being good enough, so that along with all those who sit either side of us and those who read the Bible well and who pray eloquently, that all of us might become children of God. We all might be heirs. Released from the slavery that we held ourselves in, he chose to show us this gift through individuals like the shepherds, the unlikely and the unlovable, the social outcast and the socially awkward. Because God is not looking at the things we as humans spend so much time pondering and concerning ourselves with. God is looking at us as sons and daughters, as heirs, and the working of the Spirit in our lives. And a gift? Well, a gift by definition cannot be something that we have earned. That becomes a wage or a payment or a form of reimbursement. No, a gift is something that is given, not because it has been earned. A true gift should have no strings attached. It should be freely given with no thought of repayment or bribery. It is a gift given where the giver is excited to see what you will make of it, what you will do with it, how the gift will be used, how it can become part of your life. And this is God's gift to us, to you and to me. God is excited to see how we will use his gifts to us. So whether or not you have worn a gift you have received this Christmas or used a gift you have received this Christmas, it's not important. Accept the gift that God has given you, this gift of his son, the gift of redemption, the gift of his Spirit calling out within you to the Father. This is the one gift that the more you use it, the bigger and the stronger it will become. You need to use and wear this gift every day. This is the only gift that you need to use and to treasure. So perhaps as we start this new year, I can set you two challenges. The first challenge is to spend time like Mary to ponder the gift in your heart. Just like our second holy habit, reflecting on Scripture, it might be a good idea to take time to reflect and consider all that God has done by sending you his son. This gift that has put us in a relationship with God, not as an outsider or as an outcast, but that has put us into the loving arms of our Heavenly Father. The second challenge is to be like the shepherds. Are we prepared to share something of this gift with others? To pray for opportunities to be able to share the gift of God with those we live with and meet in our everyday lives? Can we be like the shepherds who returned telling the good news to others, praising and glorifying God? This is the gift that keeps on giving. So every time you use or don't use something you've been given this Christmas, remember that the greatest gift that you have been given is that of salvation and adoption into God's family. Shall we pray?
Heavenly Father, we pray that in the coming days we will find time to stop and reflect on this amazing gift that you have given to us. Help us to spend time with you and to turn our hearts to yours so that we can feel your embrace and learn to be secure in your love for us. Help us also, Lord, to be aware of opportunities to share this gift with others. Give us boldness to be able to show something of the transforming power of your love in our lives to those we meet. In your name, amen.